been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday, as the 4th of July revelry seems to be wafting through the air. You know, the market is off to a pretty good start here today. The Dow's up 183 with just one trading day left. The rest of today and tomorrow, and then we're halfway through the trading year. 2023, Dow up 183, we're back above 34,000. We're at 34,036. The S&P's up 12 right now. That's not bad. 4,388. The NASDAQ's now positive by 22 points. It's up to 13,613. Crude oil, which had a good day yesterday, very bullish inventory numbers coming out on crude and demand for crude. Maybe crude will have a better second half of the year than it did this first half. Crude is up 9 cents to 69.65. Gold's up $18.50. It basically began the year at $1,800. It's now at $1,900, down $19 per ounce today. However, silver's down 48 cents, 22.60. Big jump in the 10-year today. I saw some inflationary reports that we're going to get to here in a bit. The 10-year's up 13 basis points to 3.84%. And Bitcoin's up 535 to 30,721. So welcome to today's The Best Stocks Now show, with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And it's kind of a weird setup this year for the 4th of July, Barry, with being
Monday
on a Tuesday.
In between. Yeah, the Monday in between kind of throws it off, doesn't it?
The market can't be closed more than 3 days in a row unless there's some extraordinary event like 9/11. So the market will be open on Monday. It might be a half a day. I don't even know that. But it will be open and then closed on Tuesday and then back open on Wednesday. But I just get this feeling. I'm watching the volume in the market. It's pretty quiet right now.
It was pretty quiet yesterday, too,
yeah,
based on your notes.
Maybe half of the normal volume. So I think there's a lot of 4th of July revelry in the air. The fireworks shops are set up all across our little town here.
That's right.
I got my supply at Walmart last night to blast into the air on Tuesday night. So anyways, we'll see. The market, of course, the second quarter ends tomorrow when the bell rings, and we begin a new quarter on Monday. In the second half of the year, and we're finishing up on a pretty strong note, although I would say that the Fed meeting put a damper on the explosive move that the NASDAQ and the artificial intelligence and the chip stocks and the software stocks were in. But they're not, they're not that weak here. It wouldn't take much to get them ignited again. The home builders have been a very strong sector as we go into the close of this year. And it has spread out. There's no question about it. I'm over 800 stocks. Now, let's see, 802 B-plus or better stocks. I normally average 300 to 400, so that shows a pretty healthy market right now, maybe a little bit too healthy. As far as A-plus momentum stocks, out of my 6,000 stock database, I currently have 306. That's a pretty high number. We're normally about half of that. So there's a lot of strength in the market. Finding value is another issue altogether. I looked at a lot of stocks on Monday. I looked at a lot of stocks on Tuesday. I looked at a lot of stocks on Wednesday. and I don't think I found, and I'll be looking at a lot of stocks on Thursday, maybe today. There's a few that have looked pretty interesting. Another area of the market that's been really strong, the cruise ships and the airlines. And I don't know what's going on with the airlines and the airports. Yesterday, there were a lot of flights canceled because of a lack of air traffic controllers, including here in Charleston. So I don't know what that's all about, if it's just a 4th of July kind of thing. But if you're flying, going somewhere, just plan on delays, not making your connector flight, stress, sliding down the inflatable stairway that went on, what, Charlotte yesterday?
And they just started doing some new, new training for air traffic controllers. So I don't know if that takes them, you know, takes folks out of, you know, out of what their normal job is, right?
Okay,
it doesn't
so
take
we,
much of a hiccup to kind of
no.
that whole system. Once
I can't imagine
a
worse
job. It's a
domino
effect. Yeah,
can you imagine the stress as all these planes are coming in and they're jockeying on the runway? They don't, you know, no traffic lights or anything like that. And some of these really, Charlotte's a busy airport. Atlanta is a super busy airport. Well, yesterday we had them meeting in Portugal, and I would say, if anything, it was pretty hawkish. Christine Lagarde, who is the ECB, she's the counterpart to Jerome Powell in Europe. They went 50 basis points at their last meeting, and she said that they will very likely hike again in July. And it seems to me that the pressure's on for our Fed to probably hike by a quarter of a point, because there's a few things here that we'll get to that seem to be pretty inflationary, right? Not cooling off as fast as they should. The yields are rising. That's also the bond market's expecting inflation to continue.
Yeah, those jobless claims came in. You know, basically dropped 26,000 to 239. Consensus was 266. So continuous claims were, you know, came in 200,000+ under what was expected. So. Job market continues to be, you know, if you want a job, there's a job out there. It may not be the job you want, but there's definitely openings.
Yep, and also you had a revision. The final Q1 GDP came in. It's now at 2%, which was up from 1.4%. So the economy is not slowing down. You know, from the planes lined up on the tarmac to the folks lined up to get a burger at McDonald's, there doesn't seem to be any slowdown, or get on a cruise ship, there doesn't seem to be any slowdown in the economy.
No, the good news is the PCE index did come in at 4.1 versus 4.2 consensus.
And that's good. That's a good number.
Yeah, and the core actually came in under 5, is expected to be 5, and it came in at 4.9. So you got kind of two, you know, that's good news for interest rates, right? So it's a bit of an interesting kind of dynamic between what they were talking about in Portugal versus, you know, some of the numbers have been hot, and some of the numbers, at least on the inflation front. I think Spain didn't Spain come in at like a 2% number, and I think the rest of the ECB was above.
Europe is definitely
5.
Running hotter than we are. Yeah. There's no question about it. All 23 banks passed the Federal Reserve stress test on capital levels. Okay, they ran one hypothetical, which was a recession, and then they ran another hypothetical, which was a severe recession. And under both scenarios, the banks would still be able to lend. Okay, they might not lend, but they would still have the reserves to lend. Now, when we come back, the consumer jolt, okay, and we are hearing this from individual companies that say they're still being impacted by inflation. And when we come back, we're going to talk about one of the areas that seems to still be a very sticky area for inflation. And it could definitely be a big factor in the next Fed meeting, which why don't you look that up during the break and find out so I can put that, so I can get the roll-aids ready, the dumps
yeah,
ready
for me. I want to say July 24th or something in that range.
Okay, towards the end of July.
I know it's at the end of July, yeah.
And we have a CPI report coming probably next week, probably, and the PPI report. But one area of the market seems to be, you know, they just can't seem to get it under control, the inflation. We'll talk about that. CEO yesterday on the on their earnings call was talking about it. And then we'll see what the consensus kind of was in Portugal yesterday, other than, you know, the linguica and the octopus and things like that order for lunch. There were other consensus, too. We'll be right back. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. This is the Best Stocks Now show. Here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson and chartered financial analyst CFA Barry Kite, and still pretty much the market sitting where it was. You've got the NASDAQ pretty flat, down a little bit. You got the Dow up 211. I have not had a chance to look into the Dow. To see what is moving it.
Yeah, getting a benefit of, you know, that I think that 2% revision kind of bounced, you know, has kind of pushed a few of those names higher. And what I think the NASDAQ was just basically flat, just a hair under down.
It looks like the financials. Okay. Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, Visa are the three top stocks.
I guess that was after the stress test.
It must have been the stress test. Now, okay. I also see.
So like they just went to the cardiologist or something.
Yeah. I see a much awaited decision from the Supreme Court just coming down saying affirmative action in college admissions is unconstitutional. So that's one of the big decisions that has been, you know, expected to come out from the Supreme Court. And that's what they ruled. Okay, now. Here's the jolt, all right? General Mills, CEO, says there is no disinflation yet with food prices. Food stocks fell on Wednesday after General Mills missed their revenue and organic sales expectations. And they said, in general, packaged food companies have continued to hike prices to offset higher wages, raw materials, and transportation costs. Looking ahead, General Mills CEO Jeffrey Harmenin said on the earnings conference call that inflation is expected to moderate but stay above the normal historic levels. He dismissed the idea that disinflation is around the corner. He said there has been a lot of commentary about disinflation or going negative, but we don't actually see that. And it's driven by labor cost inflating, he stated. The food giant expects to raise pricing again this year due to persistent inflation. Okay.
Yeah, well, I mean, their whole business is you know, affected by inflation, whether it's labor inflation, transportation costs, right? We're tied to you know, diesel and gasoline costs, those types of things, and,
yep.
And then obviously their inputs that they're, you know, they're making, right?
So they are still struggling, and they're in a very thin margin business where mm-hmm. there's not a lot of room to keep raising prices and whatnot. So, I mean, that pretty much leads to the consensus of the panel that met in Portugal yesterday. You had the ECB, Lagarde was there, Jerome Powell was there, the Bank of England governor, Andrew Bailey, Bank of Japan governor was there. the consensus was.
And he wants inflation, by the way. They were in a negative inflation environment in Japan for years, and it was just interesting dynamic because he's kind of talking up inflation. They want inflation in Japan at least a bit.
Yeah. Well, the consensus is there's more tightening to do. We believe there's more restriction coming. This comes from Jerome Powell. A good part of the reason is due to the strong labor market. It sounds like General Mills would add a little bit of credence to that. Though policy is restrictive, it may not be restrictive enough. So, you know, don't go partying too much and running NVIDIA up too high. We may have to get more restrictive on our policy. And it hasn't been restrictive for very long, he also said. In other words, basically more pain coming. He also said he can't rule out consecutive rate hikes, meaning two 25 basis point hikes out there. Definitely has put the brakes on the runaway AI train for now.
And I saw where traders, they put a 50% chance of a second rate hike this year. So in other words, I guess if they did a 25 and then let's say they did another 25, they've only got next meeting is on July 25th and 26th, by the way.
That's about 80%, right?
Yeah, that one was 80%. As of I think that was as this week started, and then so I guess that stat, who knows, but that must be. A much more boring stat now. That's why they had to go with the second rate hike at 50%.
It's 50-50 on the second one. Okay. Well, anyway.
Parlay that. Good.
Be careful what diet drink you're drinking. Aspartame is going to be declared a possible carcinogen by the World Health Organization, an arm of the World Health Organization. Artificial sweetener aspartame, commonly used in diet sodas and low-calorie packaged foods, is expected to be declared a possible carcinogen next month by the WHO. Okay, so there's something else to worry about. Artificial sweeteners may include Japan's, and blah, blah. Relevant tickers, Pepsi, Coca-Cola, Dr. Pepper, Mondelez. Okay, now, the next one, FTC antitrust lawsuit against Amazon in coming weeks. We've always said, when is a company a monopoly? Well, when their delivery trucks block me from getting to my house, it's a monopoly. That's when I declare it a monopoly. In some places in our neighborhood, there's nowhere to pull over. They just stop traffic and get out and walk up and deliver the package, take a picture of the package. Well, there's 27 cars. It's a damn monopoly, in my opinion. But they're going to declare it a monopoly in coming weeks, and they're going to go after them because they got a lot of money, too, to pay a lot of fines. The story comes after the Wall Street Journal reported in February that the FTC was preparing a potential antitrust lawsuit against Amazon due to alleged anti-competitive business practices. If you made up a list of every business in your town, okay, so we're in the town of Mount Pleasant, South Carolina, that closed because of Amazon, it would be a large, very large number of businesses that just, all the little dress boutiques, all the little hardware store. I mean, it goes on and on and on and on and on and on. Tool supplies, et cetera.
Yeah.
Not good.
Well, they're handing, she's been handing out some subpoenas lately or whatever, I guess, in terms of lawsuits. I feel like every other day it seems like we've got a new lawsuit out of the FTC.
And it's usually a FANG stock.
Yeah.
Okay, Micron reported. They're kind of an important chip stock. Micron is now down 4.1%. That's also part of the dullness, right, that I'm seeing in the NASDAQ right now.
And it was it was up 3 at one point.
It was up this morning.
Yeah, before the
open. I
don't know
what happened.
Yes.
It was up 4% in extended hours trading. But I guess now, you're getting the analysts chiming in and whatnot. They did lose money, but they beat. They were expected to lose $1.57. They only lost $1.43. That's another tough business because it's such a commodity, the flash memory chips. So Micron is down. We do own the Micron bond, which I think should be safe for now. Okay, how about this heat wave? We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, power, energy, electricity, it's all going to be a big factor as we continue to move forward. Texas power demand surges to a new all-time high amid the heat wave, okay? Texas has been around for a long time. It's an all-time high yesterday. It reached a preliminary 80,828 megawatts at 6 p.m. Well, I'm getting my Generac. They've arrived. The little pad has been built for it. They've got the gas line running to it, natural gas. They're taking away the old one that was here when I bought this house that ran on propane that could do like one room, you know. The technology is such that it's a lot better. So, you know, we're going to probably have a pretty busy hurricane season. That's what I project.
Yeah,
Tropical storms.
It's already, well, we're on the third name already, I think.
Even without a hurricane, we get some wild stuff that comes through here, that comes up this river. You know, it's just black as night coming up the river and lightning, get out of the way. And little whirlwinds within it.
we call those unnamed storms. They just come through.
And boom, the power goes out. So, anyways, I'm prepared, so I can keep looking at charts. You know, rain or shine, we're gonna keep it up. Okay, but anyways, Texas and of course Generac seems to be the leading generator of power. Here's your hot stock of the day. Now, I don't know where this came from. Sigilon. Check this out. SGTX is up 537%. Is it possible that the individual investors had it that wrong? Or is Lilly paying way too much? This stock closed yesterday at $4.24, okay? Today it's $24.81. Nobody tipped me off. Nobody called me and said, hey, you should be looking at Sigilon, SGTX. That's one of the biggest one-day rises I've ever seen, up 525% after Lilly buys it out. It's a cancer. Or chronic diseases, commercializes therapies for treatment of chronic diseases. It's a tiny little thing.
Yeah, they do some type 1 diabetes, which obviously has made other companies millions of dollars that we've owned over the years. What Insulet and Dexcom.
And Dexcom,
right.
Yes,
so.
Very good companies. And, of course, NVO, Novo Nordisk, which makes a lot of insulin. Okay.
And this is kind of how these big come in. We wrote about this a couple years back, but this is, you know, kind of the pre-COVID, this is how these companies were growing. You'd let, you know, some other company essentially, you know, get the drug passed, and then Lilly pays, you know, can pay, you know, an absorbent, what would look like an absorbent amount,
wow.
650%, I think, more than maybe it was valued previously, but But they've got the sale, you know, they've got the sales pipeline, right, already built. So I guess you just plug in the drug and, you know, they can make it $650 million. So.
Well, Warren Buffett, he's still bullish on oil. Okay. Oil has had, it'd be interesting to see. We'll see. I think the second half for the energy sector is going to be a lot better than the first half. We'll see. You know, the first half of the year, it was pretty much tech and the home builders. That's pretty much what led the market.
Yeah, and then also waiting for, you know, China to kind of take off.
I think that's the big key factor is China is running through their last phase of the, you know, the final, at least for now, the final iteration of COVID, which we've already been through quite a while ago.
Yeah, and it's like their Omicron, basically.
Yeah, we'll see if that demand comes back. But Buffett now owns 25% of Occidental Petroleum, OXY. It's a lousy chart. It really is. He's been buying it all the way down. It's headquartered in Houston, Texas. The market cap is $51 billion, so he owns about $13 billion worth of stock, and he's now boosted his stake to 25%. And as I said, you know, yesterday we get those crude inventory reports weekly, and it was very bullish. Okay, so that lends me to be on the high lookout. High alert, just watching, you know, the oil stocks. We still own one that I can think of, maybe two. But last year we owned several because it was, especially, remember the first half of the year, the liquid natural gas was trading like the AI stocks trading.
That's exactly
year.
What I was about to say.
Yeah,
it was kind of, first quarter of last year, it was really the only game in town. Yeah, and everything else was going down.
Yep. So. Now, the chip sector will also be interesting to watch in the second half of the year. It had a good first half. Taiwan Semiconductor is really ramping up to open up their chip production. There's going to be fabrication going on in Phoenix, Arizona, as they diversify away from Taiwan. It's planned to begin production next year, and they are ramping up. They're sending more workers to Arizona to ramp up the chip factory. And let's hope the workers have good self-control, because Arizona's recreational cannabis sales broke $100 million this last past month. You know what? Look, I'm just going to say, we used to go to Arizona a lot. It's not the same state that we used to visit from California all the time. There's a lot of, they got a lot of homeless under the freeways. I don't know what happened to Arizona, but it's not the same state that it was. Okay, now, but they are getting a Taiwan semiconductor chip factory. They'll be fabricating chips there next year. And of course, Taiwan Semiconductor makes chips for NVIDIA, for Apple, for AMD. So it's a very important cog in the wheel. You know, the one that we're worried most about with curbing these exports to China, from what I can read, NVIDIA, about 7% of their revenue comes from China. So while it's not like a massive, like you're losing a fourth of your business, it's more like 7% of their business. Which comes from China. And, you know, if you're going to ban these AI chips from China, that would definitely impact NVIDIA. Now, Apple closing in daily on $3 trillion. Okay, it's at $21 billion away. Call it $30 billion away. Wouldn't take much. Wedbush thinks it could be worth as much as $4 trillion. Well, you know, look, if you go to our Best Stocks Now app, it is very much an expensive stock right now. I think we might have 40% upside potential over the next 3 to 5 years, which would obviously push it above $4 trillion if they can continue to grow and innovate and come out with new products and upgrades to their existing products. So that's not like going way out on a limb saying that it could be worth $4 trillion at some point. And then you've got the biggest battery maker in the world. Let's see how it's doing now. It was up 10.5% this morning. Now it's up 19%. Freer battery. FREY turns bullish. Morgan Stanley turns bullish on the EV battery stock. So they make, you know, batteries for electric vehicles. I think they're probably the biggest battery maker. They also make conventional
batteries. Up 19% too.
That stock up 19% after Morgan Stanley, FREY. Morgan Stanley puts a target price of 13 on it, and it's at 9 now. So they come out swinging there. For Morgan Stanley, a glasses half empty kind of company, they're pretty bullish on Freer, FREY. I've watched it since it went public, and it has not. It's been a very dull IPO. Speaking of IPOs, there was that one yesterday. I can't think of the symbol now. It was the Korean one. Korean barbecue, all right, with like 23 restaurants across America.
Yeah,
It didn't go up 100% like Kava did. It went up about 25%. So apparently Mediterranean food's a little more sexy and exciting than Korean barbecue right now.
Get a higher multiple for that, huh?
Higher multiple, but we did have two IPOs, successful IPOs this past week. Okay, now what's moving here in the markets today as we approach the end of the quarter tomorrow? We'll be right back.
You gotta go where you wanna go.
And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, the biggest factor in the market today is the big jump in interest rates because that affects so many sectors. It's affecting the bond market. You know, the 10-year is up 13 basis points right now because of the inflationary the hawkish talk coming out of the big meeting of all of the central banks yesterday. General Mills' comments on food inflation, the jobless claims coming in softer than expected. And all of a sudden, you got this big jump in interest rates, 13 basis points. Who is that good for? The financials. And the financials are getting a second boost of adrenaline today, also from all 23 passing the stress test yesterday. And who's on the losing end of high big jump in interest rates? Mostly tech. And, of course, but the bond market and anything that's a rate. Interest rate sensitive, so you're seeing a little bit of a sell-off in the home builders here today. So as we look at the NASDAQ, it's pretty dull, very dull on the NASDAQ. The one stock that stands out to me on the NASDAQ today, and it's kind of given up a little bit, but it's up about 1%, AMD. And I would just say that AMD went through a correction. It went from 132 down to about 108, and it seems to be now building a bottom there in the 110, 111 area. So I would say that if you like AMD, that you've kind of pulled back to a decent entry point once again. It was not a good entry point at 132. But down here at 110 or 111, it is a good entry point. But all in all, it's a very dull day in big tech. It takes a lot of volume for these big tech stocks. You know, they're so huge, little individual investors aren't going to move them. And it just looks like a lot of the institutions are probably in the Hamptons, or at the Met game, right? The Mets game, watching the Mets lose, and of course, the Padres. There's something we're learning in baseball. Big payrolls. The Mets payroll is $325 million, okay, for their players. They're dismal performance. And the Padres are third, believe it or not, in payroll. We used to be last every year, you know. We had former janitors at second base, things like this. Now they have this big payroll. Are they any better? No, they're terrible. I watched the most horrible game last night. It's just horrible. So just paying and buying big players doesn't assess. You can't buy the World Series. There's an unknown factor in there. And I think it's chemistry, okay? I think it's chemistry and the players all having a purpose, being a team, getting along together, being
and
loose,
it's a long season.
Relaxed.
It's a long season. You got to stay focused.
Yeah, I don't see that in the Mets or the Padres. So you can pay all you want for these so-called stars. And it's not going to get you into the World Series. You got a little team like Tampa. You know, who doesn't have a big payroll, or Texas Rangers who don't have a big payroll, and they're the ones that are playing the best. Anyways, I don't know how I got into that. But anyways, let's look at the NASDAQ. There's just not much going. I'm going to call the dud of the day Micron, MU down 4.3%. The Chinese stocks are also doing well. They don't do well either when, U.S. interest rates are rising because a lot of them are tech oriented. Over at the S&P 500, it's the financials. They're also a group, a sector that benefits from higher interest rates. You know, if you look, those short-term rates are still really high. You know, they got to be making a lot of money. I was looking at the 2-year this morning. The 2-year treasury is still way up in the high fours. So a lot of this money just sitting around that they have, you know, in deposits and stuff, they're making a lot of money in interest income. And so your biggest winners in the Dow are Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan, and Visa. Financials. Will the financials do well in the second half? Well, they're going to do a better in the second half than they did in the first half. Because in the first half, they were plagued by more rate hikes, number one. And number two, they were plagued by the big sell-off in the banks, the big super-regional banks. I noticed there was one that had the weakest stress test. It was it Comerica? It might have been Comerica. It was one of the big super-regionals that was under heavy attack from the short sellers not too long ago. And I guess for good reason, because they came in pretty weak in the stress tests. But the financials having a good day. They should do a lot better in the second half than the first half. It's not a group that I'm real wild about. Wells Fargo up 2.9%. And on the downside, not much either way. Google's down 1.2% in the S&P 500. Amazon is down 1%. Well, life goes on. We will be putting out a newsletter this weekend. I will narrow it down to one stock as our best idea, our current best idea. That will go out Saturday morning, late morning from the East Coast. So you get it early on the West Coast. What will our best idea be this week? You can go to GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com to sign up for the newsletter. And if you'd like to, you have to take a look at your performance in your portfolio for the first half of this year, kind of a time for a little bit of reflection and you know, holding money managers accountable and whatnot. You have a bunch of stocks in your so-called superstars of yesteryear that aren't performing. Or a manager that's not performing. I don't know. Maybe you're the manager. Maybe you self-manage your account. If you'd like to set up an appointment with us, this is a good time, you know, before the year end. Why not cut the losses at the right here at the middle of the year and hopefully get things going in the right direction? We can't guarantee anything, but we'll do our best to try to find the areas of the market that are doing well in this unique environment that we currently have. Call us at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST, or get the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.